Some have referred to this month as Striketober. We saw the Writers Guild sign a new deal, but the actors are still on strike. United Parcel Service workers signed a new deal, but the United Auto Workers are still out on strike. There was recently a really interesting article in Washington Monthly magazine that caught my eye. It was titled "The Smart Corporate Tax Idea That Might Have Prevented the UAW Strike." It was written by Jessica Church, who joins us now to talk about this. Hi, Jessica. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Joan. Happy to be here.
I understand, and one of the things that I've talked about repeatedly when I talk about these labor actions is the vast gulf there is between CEO pay and the median worker pay. I was talking to one labor expert that said, yeah, you know, it used to be something like maybe 30 to 1. Now we're seeing ratios that are like 300 to 1. And, you know, we have the at least when it came to the writers and the actors, you've got these, the head of Warner Brothers and the head of Disney, who are, I think Bob Iger is the poorest paid of all of them. And I think his salary is $29 million a year. When you've got the vast majority of actors that have to work at Trader Joe's to supplement their income to stay in their apartments, this CEO pay is out of control. Tell me about the corporate tax idea that you wrote about.
Yeah, you have it exactly right. I wrote this article because executive compensation is out of control. And I think increasingly the general public is starting to realize this, in part because of those strikes that you mentioned and the rhetoric around the UAW strike and how much the big three CEOs have been making every year. This is not a brand new tax idea. In 2021, Senator Bernie Sanders introduced the Tax Excessive CEO Pay Act. And what this bill would do is apply a higher corporate tax rate on companies that pay their CEOs a disproportionate amount of compensation compared to their workers. So, you know, if a CEO is making more than 50 to 1 what the median worker is being paid in that company, then the corporate tax rate would increase by a certain amount. If they're making, you know, 100 or more to one, then it would be even a higher increase on the corporate tax rate. And so it's a really creative idea because it actually incentivizes both curtailing executive compensation, but also increasing worker pay.
You said that this initial measure was put together by Bernie Sanders. Is it still working its way? Does it still live, or has it died an unnatural death?
It died an unnatural death. So he introduced it in 2021. It died in that Congress, and it has not been reintroduced in this current Congress. But, you know, that doesn't mean that it couldn't be. And there are other members of Congress that, you know, might be considering other ideas. This tax proposal would also increase revenue for the federal government, which would allow it to continue to provide those important services that it does. And so, you know, the way that I see it, this would be a kind of a win-win-win here.
Well, with the current House of Representatives, I don't think that they're going to want to do anything that even in the slightest ruffles the feathers of big companies. But if after 2024 we find ourselves with a Democratic president, a Democratic Congress, and a Democratic Senate, do you think a measure like this could have new life?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, after this past month, increasingly, I think it's very likely that we might end up with a Democratic trifecta. The Republicans have shown us again and again that they are not serious about governing, and they're happy to throw our country's democracy into disarray. I think that there's potential here because of the sort of excess in CEO compensation you mentioned at the beginning. CEOs in the 1970s made about $1 million annually. That was roughly 20 to 30 times what the average worker made. But today, the average CEO at a Fortune 500 firm makes close to $20 million a year. And there are many who make a lot more than that. And it's, you know, between 200 and 300 times the pay of a median worker. And that's about a tenfold increase. So while CEO pay has gone up, 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 and up, you know, the average worker pay has only seen moderate increases over the last 10, 20, 30 years.
I haven't heard these comments recently, but in the past, some companies have justified excessive CEO and other C-suite salaries because, you know, Jessica, we just really, we want the best person. And unless we're willing to pay a whole lot of money, we're just not going to get the best person for the job. And I'm thinking to myself, let's just take Mary Barra, for example. I mean, I understand that there's one forum that says that her compensation might be more than this when you add in all the stock. And but she's basically, yep, what, $29 million a year. Jessica,
exactly.
if you posted that on Indeed.com, General Motors looking for a CEO, how many hundreds of thousands of applicants do you think you would get? And even if you said General Motors CEO job pays $2 million a year, I find it hard to believe that the only reason that General Motors has a good CEO is because of the salary that is through the roof.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, the other thing here is that really excessive CEO pay is actually bad for business overall. So there's extensive academic research that's shown that extreme pay disparities undermine the corporate bottom line by reducing employee morale, reducing employee productivity, and raising worker turnover rates. A Harvard Business School study of S&P 1500 firms, so more than just the S&P 500, found that companies with overpaid CEOs and underpaid workers saw significantly higher levels of employee dissatisfaction and turnover, as well as lower sales. So, you know, they might be saying, oh, we've got to get the best of the best, but that's actually at the same time undermining their very business strategy.
Okay, that's the data. Why is nobody implementing it? Why does David Zaslav make, last I heard, it was, with all the stock and all the bonuses, it was over $100 million. I don't think anybody is $100 million smart. Maybe me, maybe you, Jessica, but certainly not David Zaslav. If this data exists, why is no one implementing it?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. And there's always going to be an extreme lobby of opposition from these very corporations. Corporations spend millions and millions of dollars every year lobbying against the very proposals like this. And it hasn't been that long that we've actually had all of this data. So all of the data about executive compensation, we have in part because the 2010 Dodd-Frank financial reform legislation, which many of your listeners probably know, was passed in the wake of the 2008 financial crisis. This legislation took a step forward by requiring publicly held corporations to disclose the ratio between their CEO and median worker pay. Another amazing thing that Senator Sanders' Tax Excessive CEO Pay Act would have done is expand that disclosure requirement to include private companies as well.
Is this responsibility to rein in CEO pay, does it fall to the board of directors? I mean, I guess if it's a publicly traded stock, you could put together an activist investor group and, you know, try to show up and make some noise at the annual shareholders meeting. But can we lay this at the board of directors' fault?
It can be both. Yes, the board absolutely could rein this in, and shareholders can do so as well. So actually, just this week, after a ton of bad press following the WGA strike this summer, Netflix, which, you know, had CEOs, co-CEOs actually making just astronomical amounts of money, Netflix announced that it would be making substantial changes to its executive pay model after they faced significant shareholder pushback regarding the size of their executive pay packages. So that was an example of shareholders putting their foot down and saying, I don't know about this. It seems a little extreme to me.
Well, especially if you've got data that shows that with a reduced salary, the company would do better. Because, I mean, if I'm a shareholder, my overriding reason for having shares in a company is that I think it's going to do well and the stock price is going to do well and then I'm going to do well. And why wouldn't you support every possible avenue toward making that happen?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, companies face a lot of different types of risk in our current environment. And the vast majority of the value of companies is actually in their workers. It used to be the case in the early 20th century that value was tied up in things like equipment and factory buildings. But now it's really in our workforce. And so when you sort of take steps that lower morale or lead to a disgruntled workforce, you risk stock price going down, the overall value of the company going down. So I think you're exactly right. And shareholders, I would encourage them to get more engaged when it comes to executive compensation packages.
We need to take a break. I am joined by Jessica Church, who in Washington Monthly Magazine, I think this was published October 9th, the smart corporate tax idea that might have prevented the UAW strike. We are going to continue our talk about this right after a break.
This is Joan Esposito, live, local, and progressive on WCPT 820.
I'm joined by Jessica Church, writing in Washington Monthly Magazine. She wrote about a corporate tax idea that was originally launched by Bernie Sanders that would require corporations to pay a higher tax if their CEO pay is too out of balance with their median worker pay. Was anybody else? I know Bernie Sanders wrote this up, and I believe, what was his name? Oh, Ron Wyden, like you mentioned in the article, was also a fan of this. Who else do you think is would be willing to pass this kind of a tax?
You know, I think that this is a piece of legislation that a lot of Democrats in the Senate should be able to get behind. When this bill was introduced, we knew that Senator Ron Wyden, who was the chair of the Finance Committee at the time, still is, he was very seriously considering it. And so while, you know, it didn't move through the Senate in the typical legislative process, this was at a time when there was budget negotiations and it was taken very seriously. I also, you know, Senator Sheldon Whitehouse from Vermont has been an outspoken leader on this. And he told me recently, you know, direct quote, CEOs are hoovering up the profits that result from increased worker productivity and leaving very little for the people who are actually responsible for those gains. And so I know that Senator Whitehouse from Rhode Island is also looking into this idea.
You know, you said that public pressure on Netflix has caused them to announce that they're going to revisit and restructure their executive pay. I think, especially with the UAW, one of the things that most resonates with the public is that, you know, when the automakers were really, really in trouble, everybody knows that the unions made lots of concessions to keep the industry alive. And yet now that there have been, you know, record profits after record profits, year after year, you know, oh, suddenly we realized that that wonderful flow of dough never made it down to the people who sacrificed to keep the company alive. That's got to be a PR nightmare for them. Do you get the sense that just like with Netflix, when people were like, whoa, you know, let's do things a little bit differently. It seems to me public sentiment is very much with the UAW workers here. What's your sense of that?
Yeah, I would totally agree. You know, when they announced the strike, UAW President Sean Fain said, "We are once again returning to our roots and reclaiming our tradition of holding the line for working people against unchecked corporate power." For me, there's sort of no better example of unchecked corporate power than them thinking they can pay their CEO nearly $30 million a year and not raise worker wages, right? The hubris is incredible. And so the American people are with the auto workers on this. A majority of Americans support the auto workers' strike. This is, I would say, a change in public sentiment when it comes to unions. Public sentiment supporting unions has been growing since the 60s, and it actually reached this year its highest point since 1965. And so the public are with the workers on this.
Yeah. Well, I remember when the UPS strike was looming. I remember saying on the air that, you know, if the CEO of UPS wants to take 4 weeks off, I don't really care. It doesn't affect my life. But those drivers in those trucks, they better not be gone for 4 weeks because I need my packages. I mean, you know, I mean, hubris, I think, is the perfect word. They seem to think that they are just so brilliant. And I read the Wall Street Journal, and one thing that always amazes me is, oh, CEO, let go after 2 years, you know, brought in brand new idea that cost the company millions. And these people are not brilliant. They, you know, they have an idea, and if they're lucky, their idea works. And then, you know, they can ride that to fame and fortune. But the ego involved here, you know, I want the people who are actually putting my car together to get a piece of the pie. Do you think that public pressure is having an effect on the CEOs of, what is it, GM, Stellantis, and Ford?
I do. You know, news broke earlier today that Ford and the UAW are close to a deal, and they're getting closer on the compensation packages for workers. And I think part of that is the public support for the UAW and for the strike. You know, the other thing is the big three automakers have had very successful recent years. And as their profits have gone up, you might think, okay, it does make sense a little bit to reward the CEO in some way, but the workers are the ones that are creating that wealth, and the profits need to be more equitably distributed with the workers. You're exactly right when it comes to the good folks at UPS. It's the delivery drivers who really keep things humming. You have no company without the workers.
Yeah. And when the Writers Guild was on strike, apparently Robert Iger didn't say this, but another executive said, well, we know we'll just hold off on negotiations till they start losing their homes, and then they'll be more amenable. What idiot makes a statement like that? I mean, even if you think it privately.
I think his PR team was very unhappy.
Oh! You know, and now we see, you know, usually if the Writers Guild cuts a deal, that's used as a template, and SAG-AFTRA signs a deal reasonably quickly after that. But with these days in the brave new world of AI and how actors are really, really the vast majority of actors who don't get the big speaking roles and don't really make a lot of money. I mean, they're all but an endangered species with the way AI is being used. And so we still see this strike going on. We see the UAW strike going on. At what point does public pressure cause, you know, the Mary Barras of the world to say, you know what, this just isn't worth it? I think in the news yesterday, they said, the Associated Press was reporting that in the next quarter, GM might be posting either really low profits or possibly even a loss because of the strike. At what point do you say this isn't worth it?
Yeah, I mean, I think we should have probably passed that mark a long time ago.
Yeah.
But it's hard for me, and I think for regular working folks out there, to even put themselves in the mind of somebody like Mary Barra, somebody making close to $30 million a year. You know, you mentioned the writers, and CEO for those big sort of movie houses and streaming services. Last year, CEO pay averaged about $32 million. Several executives crossed the $50 million mark annually. And all the writers were demanding was better wages and residual payments for streaming services for the work that they produced. They, too, were asking to be included in the profit sharing in a more serious way. And I just, it sort of boggles the mind that it's taken, you know, the UAW's been on strike for 6 weeks. I hate that. I hate that for the workers and the families, but also it is an incredible display of power. And it shows that really in this country, the power does still lie with the working people.
Yeah. Jessica, we clearly are in the wrong line of work. Do you think it's too late to make a career change?
I don't know. I'm not a Jessica Church CEO. Not sure about that.
Yeah. But she makes $29 million a year.
Yeah. Something like that. It boggles the mind.
I'd rather win the lottery, you know, same amount of money or possibly even more and none of the pressure. Do you have any sense? I know that you do a lot of reporting on this kind of thing, on strikes and on labor and on fairness. Do you have any sense? Could you predict a timeline? And if Ford does sign a deal with the UAW workers, will GM and Stellantis capitulate more quickly because of, you know, otherwise, you know, wouldn't their workers go to work for Ford?
Right. You know, I couldn't predict the timeline, but it has borne out in the past that when the UAW reaches a deal with one automaker, then ultimately the other companies are forced to match it with their own settlements. And so, you know, we're hoping that UAW gets what it needs for its workers from Ford, and then that would pave the way for deals with GM and Stellantis.
One thing that I think they should also put on the table is I think they should make Stellantis change its name because nobody drives a Stellantis. What is that car you just bought? Oh, that's a Stellantis. Can we, you know, why not?
It's true. I think a lot of people when the strike first launched, people were doing quick little Googles on their phones. Stellantis?
Yeah. Yeah. They've got to get that new Stellantis. The models are coming out now. Jessica, thank you so much for sharing your reporting with us. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us about this. And like I said, if you want to read what she's written, it's really fascinating. It is in Washington Monthly. You can find it online. The article was posted October 9th. Jessica Church is the author, and the title is The Smart Corporate Tax Idea That Might Have Prevented the UAW Strike. Jessica, thank you again for being here.
Thank you for having me, Jen.